We ain't about to be playing them type of games. Cause I already know what it is.
Those ain't my shoes under the bed. Yeah, pulled up quick, didn't text this time. Thought I was surprised you had you on my mind. Lights real low, something's feeling off. Too quiet in here where you at, don't hide. Keys hit the table, I'm calling your name. No reply, now I'm feeling the way. Walk to the room, heart switching pace. Soon as I look down, yeah, everything changed. Trying to play it cool, but I know what it is. Ain't no way I'm mistaking this. Those ain't my shoes under the bed. Those ain't my, got me in my head overthinking again. But I know I ain't blind. Who been laying where I lay? Who been calling you babe? Whoa, those ain't my shoes under the bed. Don't even try to explain. Whoa, yeah, you been moving different lately. Phone on solid screen, face down daily. Seeing your side roll away from me. Now it's making sense, yeah, it's all too crazy. Yeah, got a sin in the air I don't wear. And that size right there, yeah, that ain't fair. Pick them up, yeah, I know they ain't mine. Now you got me questioning all this time. Trying to play it cool, but I know what it is. Ain't no way I'm mistaking this. Those ain't my shoes under the bed, yeah. Those ain't mine. Got me in my head overthinking again. But I know I ain't blind. Who been laying where I lay? Who been calling you babe? Those ain't my shoes under the bed. Don't even try to explain. Yeah, was it worth it? Tell me straight. All them lies just to keep me in place. I gave you time, I gave you space. You gave my spot to somebody else, Lord.
Damn. You ain't even gotta say nothing, cause I see it.
Those ain't my shoes under the bed. Those ain't my, got me in my head overthinking again. But I know I ain't blind. Who been laying where I lay? Who been calling you babe? Those ain't my shoes under the bed. Don't even try to explain, yeah.
One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect whatever matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you are building every single day. If you are a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. What's up, Milwaukee? It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Shout out to Joa Tucker and Brad Fax, two of my guests today. I've known Joa for a long time. I've known Brad as well. They're doing some amazing things out here. Make sure you chop it up with Brad. Purchase some of his merch with Principle as well as Courage Under Fire, his book. And stop down to Dream Lounge Social on MLK Thursday through Saturday from 7 p.m. to 1 p.m. Shout out to both of those brothers. Again, this has been an amazing conversation. I want to take it to something else really quick. So I don't know if you guys follow me on social media. If you don't, it's on Instagram, it's the Jazzy Effect. That's JazzyEffect. But basically, I've been putting out some commentary, right? Some videos, my opinions based on what is happening with MMSD, Palantir, the data centers, and the fact that we are requesting that they shut it down, right? Primarily because Palantir is a company that works with ICE. So we don't want it. Well, apparently, as of today, it seems that Jacobs has officially announced that they are no longer working with Palantir. So a Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District Committee has recommended Jacobs Solutions for roughly $700 million, a 10-year wastewater operations contract. Community criticism has included concern over Jacobs' corporate relations with Palantir. Advocates have said Jacobs indicated Palantir would not be involved in the MMSD work. So that means that, hey, hopefully they stick to the plan. Hopefully this doesn't happen, because we always know, we know from past situations that they like to switch and bait. You know, they'll say we're not doing this, but then turn around and do it. As well. So we've already talked about the controversy, right? Today's question is different because the purpose has moved. When a community raises ethical concerns about a company, how much should those concerns weigh against price, qualification, and performance? If Palantir will not be involved in the Milwaukee contract, is that enough to address the concern? And should public contracts be judged strictly on cost and performance, or should a company's other business relationship matter? For me, it does. And whether or not, you know, they're working with Palantir, that's one half, one side of the cone, of the coin. So, yes, we don't want them working with an organization that is working with ICE, right? Because to me, that seems like they're paying to surveil it, evidently. So even if they drop it, the other fact remains that we don't want a data center, right? People throughout this entire state has talked about this multiple times, even in the election. So I don't know if you guys have been seeing, Tom Tiffany obviously went from badgering Kong to badgering Crowley, and now he's coming at Crowley about the data centers, but he has yet to tell the public where he stands when it comes to data centers, right? And when you read the comments and when you hear the citizens of the state of Wisconsin talk about the data centers, they're constantly saying, hey, we don't want it, right? So, yes, we don't want them working with Palantir, but the other half is also saying we don't want the data centers at all. And at the end of the day, the reality is these people in positions are going to make whatever decisions they feel like they need to make, right? History has shown us that. History has proven that. So I think we're in a spot where we have to not conform, but just bend a little bit to figure out what do we get out of it, right? So if the data center is actually happening, and if they're saying, hey, we're not going to not have them, then what do we, the people, get out of it, right? And I'm not talking about the broken promises, for example, when Walker was in office with the Foxconn, that when they came to Wisconsin and all of that. We need real life information. We need real life scenarios. We need real life opportunities. How can the citizens of the state of Wisconsin benefit off of a data center coming here? What do we get out of this, right? And also, how much transparency should taxpayers receive before hundreds of millions in public money are committed? Because 9 times out of 10, and this is coming from someone who has worked in politics, the decision has already been made. So a lot of times when they say, hey, we want to have a public meeting, right? We want to have a town hall to get the community's opinion on what it is that we should do with X amount of dollars. The decision has already been made. They're not telling us that, but they made the decision a long time ago behind closed doors. So now they're like making it seem as if we're actually included and we're not. So I honestly believe that we have to reach a point where somebody has to be truthful about what is going to happen. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we continuously elect the same people who tell us, you know, give us false hope. And then when they get elected, they do something completely different. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. If you are just now joining us, I was talking about the fact that Jacobs announced today that they are no longer working with Palantir when it comes to these data centers. However, that does not mean the citizens of Wisconsin said we want the data centers. We still don't want them. $700 million apparently is going to be awarded to Jacobs. They were in a bid with another company who were charging, I believe, $400 more, which is why they were awarding it to Jacobs. But I think in the agreement, they stated that they couldn't work with Palantir because there was so much pushback from the community. Eager to see how the rest of this is going to play out. I am going to suggest that whoever you choose to vote for in this election, make sure you pay attention to this. If you do not understand what is happening when it comes to the water system, when it comes to the data centers, please research this and make sure you research whatever candidate you are supporting to see if they are truly going to keep their word, right? If they're going to listen to the citizens when we say that we don't want any data centers. So, the license plates, reader cameras that you see around Wisconsin apparently can help solve crimes. But what happens when someone with access misuses the system? How much privacy are you willing to trade for safety? For me, none. A Wisconsin law enforcement case involving misuse of Flock license plate reader technology has renewed questions about access, auditing, and privacy. So technology obviously can help, you know, the law enforcement locate stolen vehicles, missing people, suspects, all of the above. But the bigger question is, what safeguards exist when someone with authorized access uses that information for an unauthorized purpose? Should officers have to document a legitimate law enforcement reason every time they search a plate? Should every search be automatically logged and audited? What consequences should follow the misuse of surveillance databases? Do license plates readers make you feel safer or more watched? And who should have access to location-related vehicle data and for how long? So there most definitely should be consequences. If I'm not mistaken, this specific officer who was misusing the surveillance database was going through some type of issue in his relationship or with his ex or his current girlfriend. I believe it was his ex. And he started to use this database to keep track of, if I'm not mistaken, her and or whoever it was that she was dealing with. So this case is ironic. This case is insane. Because that is stalking, that is harassment. And what do you do in a situation like that when someone uses their force? Obviously, this isn't nothing new. It's just a different level. We've seen officers use illegal force, right, on citizens. We've seen them involved in scandals. We've seen them being paid off. Recently, I believe this was last year, where a former officer of MPD was being paid off to give information to ops. So somebody would pay him from this side of town who had beef with these people to get information or to set it up. There's all types of things that's happening. But the even bigger question is the privacy. Last week, you guys probably seen all over the news that a lady whose vehicle was previously involved in a homicide investigation but had later been released was stopped in the middle of traffic in the highway. Cops pulled her over, guns blazing, right? It looked like a scene off of John Wick. Crazy. Only to find out that her car had already been removed from the investigation. And this spiral and this happened because of the flock camera system. It's almost like the, what do you call those cars, right? Technology in general. The cars that they don't have them here, but I've seen them in Arizona and different states that drives by them. Waymos. That's what they call Waymos. The cars that drives by themselves. And when the GPS or the satellite does not connect correctly to the car, when there's construction or things of that nature, the car begins to spin in circles at roundabouts. It goes down the opposite way on incoming traffic, all types of things, right? So this flock system, remember, it's technology. It does not know. It doesn't have information inside of the database that says, hey, this vehicle with these license plates were removed from this homicide investigation. All it's doing is reading the license plates. The issue is whoever is controlling the database. The fact that nobody removed her information from the investigation. And if they did, they have to figure out a way to document it or to code it to where it doesn't cause a scene the way that it did. That is dangerous. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that woman was pulled over by all of those police officers and she was pulled over by trigger-happy police officers over a flock system that made an inaccurate assumption that this vehicle was still currently involved in a homicide investigation. Now, fast forward again to the fact that you have officers who are utilizing this system for their own personal needs. That is scary, especially when we know Wisconsin and Milwaukee has a history of police harassing black men, right? Saville Smith. That wasn't just a random situation. They've had interactions before. We have a history of police harassing men that they don't like. So for someone to have this information and access to this and be able to harass or look up whoever because they're bitter about a relationship, not only do you suspend them, you take the badge. Because, bro, what is you doing? For real, what are you doing? And this happens time and time and time again. This is scary. And we know, we've seen it, the robots, the technology, all of that. The fact that they are doing everything possible to make sure that we don't have privacy. We don't have privacy on our phones, right? I don't know about y'all, but I never activate Siri on my phone. I don't activate Siri. I dang near don't even like smart TVs. I feel like the cameras probably can see stuff. The fact that you can look up something because everything is connected, right? Have you ever been on Google and you search something and then you hop on Facebook or Instagram and that advertisement pops up as you're scrolling because everything is connected? When we get these smartphones, we never read the terms and conditions. When there's an update, we just click install now. We never read the update. We never read the stipulations. We don't read anything when it comes to terms and conditions and technology because it's a lot. But when you actually dive into it, you have to start paying attention to how much of your information people or the government or whoever has access to. Now, I know there's some people, because I'm one of them, who's like, there's nothing we could do about it. They're going to do whatever they want to do. We have to figure out how to maneuver around it, right? But the harsh reality is every single day we are losing privacy. Every single day we don't have full control over our lives. We have them watching us. They're watching us on social media. They're listening to us on the phones. Sure, they're listening to us on the smart TVs, right? Now you even have the daggone robot little carts that deliver food. When I seen that, I was like, what is this? Driving down the street and it's a cart, a robot cart with food delivering it to someone. You have drones. Amazon is now using drones to drop off packages. The flock system. Everywhere you go, we are constantly under surveillance. It's starting to feel like the iRobot movie, any of those movies. This is really starting to feel that way. And the fact that you have officers or people in these positions who have access to this, and how, like, that's like the world's dumbest criminal. Because why wouldn't you think someone can access and see that you logged in to this? Like, how dumb can you be? The fact that he had access to this system to track whoever it was that he wanted to track is a problem. The fact that there is a system set in place that can scan license plates and send officers, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five, squad cars to stop a woman in the middle of the highway because the Flock system stated that her car was involved in a homicide investigation, even though it was currently no longer involved in that investigation. Guns blazing. It's dangerous. It is dangerous. And we, the people, did not ask for a Flock system. That's lazy work. Do your job. If you take care of the core issues, you won't have to worry about a Flock system. Take care of the core issues of the people and stop bypassing it with technology. Every time there's a problem, oh, there's high, it's too much crime, we don't have time. Let's put cameras up. Let's put a Flock system up. You know how many times I done rode down the street and see the police doing absolutely nothing? And they may be tired too. I don't know. But I'm just tired of them putting funds in technology. Remember, it's technology. It's not real. It doesn't have human senses. It cannot dictate right from wrong. You're constantly pouring money into technology to try and catch, quote unquote, the bad guys and girls, but you're not investing money into the core issues of the people. Invest the money into the issues that we're truly facing, right? Prevention, solutions, so that we can stop, or we not stop completely because it'll never be done, but so that we can reduce the crime. So that we can reduce the crime. If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't care about surveillance. Is that true or false? False. I don't want nobody in my business watching me 24/7. That is weird. The fact that we have this is weird. All of it is weird. All of it is weird. We got to go to break. When we come back, a Wisconsin court ruling involving Milwaukee County and money connected to the Common School Fund. Then we are ending with a positive story about scholarship investment. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. And here's a story that probably doesn't sound very exciting when you first hear it. Traffic tickets. Traffic tickets. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office and something called the Wisconsin Common School Fund. But stay with me, because underneath this story is a much bigger question. Can the government take money that the Wisconsin Constitution says is supposed to be used for one purpose and redirect it towards another purpose, even when that second purpose is arguably very important? Because that's essentially what happened here. And a judge has now said no. So here's what actually happened. In Wisconsin's 2025 through 27 state budget, lawmakers created a special provision for Milwaukee County. Now, normally, Wisconsin counties send a portion of the money generated by certain fines into something called the Common School Fund. Historically, counties have been allowed to retain 50% of qualifying fines, while the other 50% goes towards the Common School Fund. But Milwaukee County received a special exemption. Milwaukee County was allowed to keep 100% of certain state traffic fines. Why? The money was supposed to help maintain funding for 12 assistant district attorney positions in Milwaukee County after the federal pandemic relief money supporting those positions expired. We are talking about roughly $2.2 million per year. Over the state two-year budget cycle, that's approximately $4.4 million. that otherwise would have gone into the common school fund. Now listen carefully, because this is where this gets interesting. The problem wasn't necessarily what the prosecutors don't need the money, because they do. The problem was, where did Wisconsin get the money? What is the Common School Fund? This isn't some new government program created 5 years ago. The Common School Fund goes all the way back to the creation of Wisconsin in 1848, right? So today the fund helps Wisconsin public schools purchase things like library books, educational materials, digital resources, and instructional technology. And in some Wisconsin school districts, this can be especially important for libraries. So the Common School Fund distributed approximately $70 million statewide in 2025. So this is simply, Milwaukee got to keep some traffic ticket money. So the question is, did the legislator take money dedicated to education and redirected it to somewhere else? Here's where Milwaukee's problem come in. Milwaukee County wasn't trying to spend this money on something frivolous. That's important to know. The county needed to maintain prosecutor positions. They weren't simply 12 brand new jobs someone dreamed up. The positions had previously been supported by the federal American Rescue Plan funding. That funding expired. But the need for prosecutors didn't disappear when the federal money disappeared. So Milwaukee County faced a very real question. How do you keep these prosecutors working? The state budget came up with the solution. And instead of Milwaukee County sending its normal share of qualifying traffic fines to the Common School Fund, Milwaukee County could keep all of that money and use it for the DA's office. So from a budgeting standpoint, somebody might say that sounds reasonable. But is it? This is where it gets complicated. I want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. A lot of people aren't even familiar with the Common School Funding. And I think that this is something that should have been talked about during the forum, quote unquote, debate. This is something that should be discussed a little bit more often, especially if someone is getting a break. So if we're in a situation where the county gets to keep the money instead of giving 50% to the Common School Fund, then that means that is a part of, if I'm not mistaken, the issues why MPS don't have funding. Library books, educational materials, digital resources, so on and so on. If you follow the money, you follow the problem, right? It's time to follow the money. So the issue actually went before the Wisconsin Supreme Court more than 50 years ago. The case was State X Rail Commissioners of Public Lands versus Anderson. The legislator had previously allowed counties to retain part of their fines. And the Supreme Court basically said the legislator has some flexibility in determining what constitutes the clear proceeds. In other words, the Constitution doesn't necessarily mean every penny collected from a fine has to go into the school fund. Counties have legitimate expenses associated with collecting and prosecuting these cases. But the Supreme Court also established an important limitation. The legislator couldn't allow counties to keep so much money that what remained for the school fund became essentially nominal, right? That means that that's an insignificant amount. So now think about what Wisconsin did in Milwaukee County in 2025. The state didn't say Milwaukee keeps 60% or Milwaukee keeps 70% or Milwaukee keeps 80%. It said Milwaukee could keep 100%. What does the Common School Fund receive from those particular Milwaukee County fines? $0. $0. Officials with the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands recognized the obvious constitutional problem back in 2025. And as their executive secretary put it, zero is less than nominal. So Milwaukee County School Fund in 2025 received $0. $0. The Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty challenged the Milwaukee County exemption. And now a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge has ruled that the provision violates the Wisconsin Constitution. So they got some beef. They got some beef. And that's where I think the story gets much bigger. School versus prosecutors. Ultimately, that's what this is. The money that's being accumulated from traffic fines and a certain percentage is supposed to go inside of the Common School Fund has now created issues where it's schools versus prosecutors. I don't think that's the correct argument. We need school libraries and we need prosecutors. Those two things shouldn't have been placed against one another in the first place. Think about how strange this arrangement is. We are effectively saying we have a problem funding prosecutors. So let's solve that problem by intercepting money designated for education. Why should these two things even be connected? Because a person like me, I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist, but we all know about the school to prison pipeline. Connecting school funding to prosecutors is insane to me. We have a problem funding prosecutors, so let's solve that problem by intercepting money designated for education. Gotta make it make sense. If Milwaukee County needs 12 assistant district attorneys because its criminal justice systems needs additional prosecutors, then let's have a debate about that. How many prosecutors do we actually need? What should they cost? Who should be paying for them? Should Wisconsin provide additional state funding? And what should Milwaukee County contribute more? Those are legitimate questions. And it's interesting because I haven't heard anyone talk about this. That's why I wanted to talk about it. It's not taking shots at anybody or anything like that. But the more I pay attention to the elections, the more I see people talk about education and funding and all of this stuff, the more questions I begin to have. And again, a lot of us had never heard of the Common School funding. Didn't know it existed. Didn't know that 50% of the traffic fines money goes into the Common School funding. And that is used for places like MPS or libraries, for educational resources, books, technology, right? Stuff that teachers need and that students need. And they're saying that the Common School funding in 2025 received $0 because it went to prosecutors. Did y'all hear me? According to the sources, the money that was supposed to go to the Common School funding to take care of books, etc., inside of the school systems, they didn't receive it and went to the prosecutors. And I get it. It's a lot that's happening here. It's a lot that's going on, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the city of Milwaukee. So how do we find a better solution? If we're talking prosecutors, funding prosecutors versus school education, like, come on, you have to choose between one of the other. That's what this has come to in the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee. It has come to a point to where they have to decide with this specific funding, the Common School funding, are we going to utilize the funds to employ prosecutors or to fund educational needs? And that was, the goal was, well, not the goal, but evidently they chose to pay the prosecutors. And where does that put us? The DA's office has roughly 120 assistant district attorneys and around 160 support staff, according to reporting on this dispute. So you can absolutely argue that Milwaukee needs are different. We're going to talk more about this when we come from break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Shout out to my special guest that stopped through earlier, Brad Facts and Joe Tucker. Make sure y'all cop Brad's book, Courage Under Fire, as well as his clothing line, Principle. I got my merch today. And Joa, please support the brother at Dreams Lounge Social right there on MLK, man. Thursday night, they got 90s R&B. Might have to pop out for the one time. Listen, before we went to break, we were talking about the Wisconsin Common School Fund. And I was explaining exactly what that is. A lot of people are unaware of what the Wisconsin Common School Fund is. So basically, in 2000, the Wisconsin 25 through 27 state budget, lawmakers created a special provision for Milwaukee County. Normally, Wisconsin County sent a portion of the money generated by certain fines into something called the Common School Fund. So historically, counties have been allowed to retain 50% of qualifying fines, while the other 50% goes to the Common School Fund. But Milwaukee County received a special exemption. Milwaukee County was allowed to keep 100% of certain state traffic fines, right? The money was supposed to help maintain funding for 12 assistant district attorney positions in Milwaukee County after the federal pandemic relief money supporting those positions expired. So that's $2.2 million per year, which ultimately equals to $4.4 million that otherwise would have gone into the Common School Fund, right? So the Common School Fund, how does that work? It was established inside of the Wisconsin Constitution. And today the fund helps Wisconsin public schools purchase things like library books, educational materials, digital resources, and instructional technology. And in some Wisconsin school districts, this can be an especially important source for library funding. The Common School Fund distributed approximately $70 million statewide in 2025. Milwaukee got to keep some traffic ticket money. Did you hear me? Milwaukee got to keep some traffic ticket money, hunty. So, the argument is, should they be allowed to take funds that were supposed to go towards the Common School funding and pay for positions such as 12 district attorneys? And apparently a judge says no, because it is unconstitutional. Not to mention, MPS apparently, benefits from this funding. So this is raising all types of questions, right? They're saying 50% of it is supposed to go to the Common School funding, but apparently in 2025, they didn't receive any funding, right? Then MPS is saying that they don't have funding, but then they're also benefiting off of the Common School. It's all over the place. We need answers. Basically, what I'm saying is we need answers, because what it looks like is the school education versus prosecutors positions. And someone had to choose. Do we fund schools or do we fund prosecutors? And yes, Milwaukee has more caseloads. Yes, we have more crime than a lot of the smaller towns throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. We get it. But how do you make a decision between, how do you make the decision to pay prosecutor positions versus funding the school? I have yet to hear anybody talk about this at the forums, at the debates. And I'm not saying this to take shots at anybody. I'm not saying this to call anybody out. I am saying it because we need to get to the bottom of it. We have a real problem down here with the education system. And we need to understand where this money is going. When you walk into some of these schools and you see the books that they have and the turnaround time for teachers and so on and so on, it makes you wonder, what happened? Follow the money. Where is the money going? Now we didn't follow the money, and apparently it's going to the DA office. apparently is going to the DA's office. Again, I could be wrong. It could be, you know, layers to it, and I'm sure it is, but that's why I am speaking about it. I am speaking about it because we need answers and we need to understand everything about the Common School Fund. All right. I got about 5 minutes left before this show end. I want to shout out Sandra D. She will be joining us tomorrow. If you grew up in the city, especially in the 90s, you know exactly who she is. She was the baddest of the baddest when it comes to beauty, when it comes to beautician, being a beautician, all of that, right? And I'm extremely excited to speak with her. Also, this Saturday is Truth Family Fest. And I know y'all hear the commercials. I know y'all hear us talk about it all the time. But I'm not sure if you guys understand that we will be there live and direct. We will be airing live from the fest at Riverside University High School, which means that you guys get a chance to come out and meet us in person. So if you haven't, you get a chance to come and kick it with us, talk to us, exchange some resource information, and hopefully, you know, we'll receive a lot of families who will come and kick it with us as well. I do want to see y'all there. And if you have resources and you were not able to obtain a vendor's table, please still come. There's families. It's for the youth. It's for the babies. There's families that will be there who can benefit from resources, even if you don't have a table. Come, bring your flyers, bring your business cards, right? Come and have a good time. We'll have some performances as well. It's gonna be exciting. It's going to be exciting. So pull up this Saturday. I was sitting here laughing because as I was talking about this, I was listening to Ray Nitty on a lunch break today, and he was telling y'all, if y'all wasn't listening, he was telling y'all a story about when he ran for office. So for those who don't know, I ran for office in 2223. Ray ran for office in 2324. And when he was running for office, he was running for downtown against Alderman Bauman. And Bauman decided, I think Bauman thought he was on a Goodfellas or something. He started having people follow us around, all types of crazy stuff. And, you know, it is what it is. It's politics, right? But the funniest thing of it all is this man's wife. This man's wife is...
Told you.
Insane. Is this real?
Yeah, because we have like EAS tests right now for it.
It's a test or it's actually...
Well, I mean, not tests, but alerts. That's what this blue light is.
Tornado warning in the area until 7:30 p.m. Y'all know what that mean? That mean I'm about to go home. That mean it's time to go. Listen here, Troop Nation. I truly appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much for tapping in. Make sure you join us tomorrow morning with the legendary Home of Blow and Bailey Coleman, followed by Sherwin Hughes, Ray Nitty at the lunch break with Maybe Shannon, The Grapevine, and then double back to your girl Jazz Tyler on Tap In MKE Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tune in tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I got Sandra D in the building. It's going down. Thank y'all so much. Take shelter if it is a tornado. I will see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Woman. Oh, it's almost time to go. Ooh, and I got a lot of options, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So don't be moving slow. Yeah. Pretty woman. Oh, yeah. I need you for show. Something you can't ignore. Oh, oh, pretty woman. Oh, I'ma leave you wanting more. Hey, yeah. Pretty woman. Oh, I want you the most. Hey, pretty woman. I make them crazy, have them beating down my door. Yeah. Joint.
we about to close.
Finish that whiskey, man.
So put your number in my phone, lock in, and let's go explore. Pretty woman, oh, popping out tonight with a pretty woman. I just need one night. Pretty woman, you such a vibe. Pretty woman, oh, you got me hypnotized. Pretty woman, mesmerized. Pretty woman, oh, pack it up, let's slide. Pretty woman.